and reigning.
Wow. Sing the stitches.
Wow.
In Raider Land, you're listening to The Cricket Show. Every Sunday at this time, you'll hear The Cricket Show. We just want to welcome all, each and everyone who is on board tonight, all our panelists, Dennis, Hyacinth, Murchis, and Donna. Good evening to you all, folks.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Well, we'll let you give you a little thoughts a little later because we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for you giving us this opportunity to have yet another show. We pray that it will continue without any interruptions whatsoever, sir. Lord, we thank you for all the ones who are generous enough to give us gifts to help us finance the show over the past 13 years. And we pray that you'll encourage them to continue doing so for a very long time. We thank you for the moral support that we have been given over the years as well. I'm grateful for every bit of help that you have bestowed on us over these many years. We're grateful for anything you will do in the future. And thank you so much for your kindness. We ask you to continue your prayers and, well, healing touches on the ones we mentioned tonight and those who have not been mentioned, those who are up and going and still need some help, namely Mr. Baya Patel, David Christian, Leroy Lashley and his daughter Lisa, Bob Z and Murchis Nisbeton. Oh, Lord, dear Father, we just want you to touch, especially Bob Z this time, Lord. Connie Whitley, Ellie Matt, Everett Carter, Oliver Solomon, Elkamita Willett, Dr. Roger Brown, Wentworth Gorbrell, Telberg, Julian, and Sharon Francis, my siblings, Lord. Touch their bodies. Dennis Tellman, Joseph Gunchuk, Mona Daniel, Dr. Eugene Francis, Fillmore Hall Pike, Earl Stevens, and Linford McKenzie, Lord. And all the others who have not expressed their concerns, we want you to touch them from the crown of their head to the bottom of their feet, Lord. Bring them back to us so they can continue to do work you put them here to do. All these we ask in your precious name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Why don't you tell us what's going on in your neck of the woods and say hello to your fans around the world, Hyzen?
Oh, well, good evening, everyone. Thanks for listening. I know you're going to enjoy another lovely show this evening. Mm-hmm. Well, in my end, as I said, 7 degrees and raining. And not much has happened. You know, a couple of sad deaths this week, members in the church. But,
okay.
You know, we still thank God for the times that we've had them.
Mm-hmm.
And now they are at rest. So apart from that, it's just carry on as usual.
Yes, indeed.
You know, just thank God for life.
Life is like that. How about you, Donna? Donna?
Hello, good night, good night. Yes,
hi.
I'm here.
Yeah, yeah. Good
talking
night. Good
you
night to you, well.
Mm-hmm. From New Jersey.
Oh,
okay.
I'm visiting my sister in New Jersey. Yes.
Are you in,
no.
Patterson?
No.
Okay.
I'm in the Plainfield, Piscataway area.
Okay. Yes.
At the moment, I'm in Summit.
Okay. I
yes.
know
so.
The area. Mm.
All right.
Okay.
Good night, all.
Good night, all. Good night to you, too, as well.
Good
Merchants.
Night.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah, hello to your fans and well wishes.
Hi, good night to every one of you. I hope where you are enjoying whatever type of weather you have, whether you're wrapping up or you're letting it loose.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed.
Just want to say, Mom, send her love and thanks to all of you. And
yes.
Updating her, she is in a much better place now. She's doing a lot of therapy and she's progressing safely. So thank
eating
you all.
Eating and drinking
wonderful.
A lot of water. That's good.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Have to drink a lot of water.
Yes, indeed.
Being encouraged to do all
mm-hmm.
So thank you all. Enjoy tonight.
Yeah.
All here to
okay, Dennis, you have, thank you for the update. Dennis,
you're
welcome.
Yes, good evening to you ladies and Leon. Mm. And just for the record, I'm here letting it loose in 7 degrees. mostly cloudy here in Southern California. It's still early part of the afternoon, unlike my colleagues there who are getting ready for bed by the sound of things. But let's say hello and welcome to all our listeners wherever you are in the world. This is The Cricket Show at www.blogtalkradio.com/The Cricket Show. You can call us to share your opinion on 1-515-605-9850. That's 1-515-605-9850 to share your thoughts. Or you can send us an email, send it to thecricketshow@comcast.net. Don't forget, that's your reminder to join us every Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern, and we would be delighted to hear from you and to share your thoughts and wishes. For now,
indeed.
We take you right back to your host, Leon Francis.
Thank you so much. Just want to share a little sadness. I had a good friend by the name of Luke Smith. His wife passed away last Friday, and he took it to heart, and he started to do some things he shouldn't do. So he too is in the hospital, and he couldn't attend the funeral.
Couldn't attend
the funeral, but
sorry.
Tell you, it was a packed funeral, and the music was excellent. I had to be there early to get seats. The church was packed to capacity, and people standing room. My goodness, it was sad to see him not being able to attend because he obviously was.
Yeah.
Luke Smith, and his wife's name is Ann Smith, married for a long time. And she just took ill and passed on, and one would have thought that he would have gone before her because he has been continually ill and he's hospitalized now. I went to see him on Friday, and you know, he had a good time. But life is like that, so.
Yeah.
That's what it's happening. He has a big family, and the thing about it, they cordon off most of the seat for his family alone, so the visitors didn't have about two rows of seats. So you go, you went early. I went about an hour early, and I was able to get the commandant to say that you had to go early because he has a large family. And I went, that's a good seat up front. So that's my little end. So Dennis, we hoping to hear from Jatin a little later, and you want to share the topic with our friends so that they can tell the world what you're going to be talking about tomorrow, so they can appear in case they have a question.
Yes. Today we're looking forward to our regular Coach's Corner session with Jatin Patel in our cricket discussion. Today's discussion will be on the topic of rhythm and momentum as it applies to players, not to your Saturday night at the the local dancing pally, but as it applies to cricket and athletes. So as soon as the coach gets in, we'll segue into our regular Coach's Corner.
For your information, Hyacinth used a lot of rhythm when she was a young lady. I don't know if she's having
Sorry?
I said, you used to have a lot of rhythm when you were small, right?
I don't know. don't forget we were adventurous. We were Christian girls. We didn't.
Yeah. But you used to dance like... yes, anyway. That's just a joke.
I know, no. Right. No, it's a high to dance, but... yeah.
Yeah. All right, so we have some things to talk about. Have England versus India, a very fine match in progress now. We don't know the outcome. We'll talk about the Pakistan Super League a little later on, time permitting. The Women's Premier League. We will touch the West Indies 4-day championship. And then we'll go right on to Pakistan, Sri Lanka versus Bangladesh. India Premier League upcoming, Afghanistan, Ireland, will be playing in the United Arab Emirates a little later on this year. And of course, Australia will be touring New Zealand. As a matter of fact, they are touring in New Zealand presently. We talk about the Caribbean, and Antigua has named their
team
for the CPL. And they are now calling Antigua and Barbuda Falcons.
Yes.
And we tell you more about Romario Shepherd and his friend.
All right.
Chairman and as coach has here with us, so we just say good evening to Coach. Coach, welcome to your home.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening to you, sir.
All right. So let's take our cue at this point. This is the segment, the hour, the 45 minutes of the Coach's Corner. The Cricket Show USA, the Cricket Hall of Fame USA, and the American Cricket Education Council, ACEC, is pleased to welcome the weekly joint collaborative broadcast of the Coach's Corner. The objective of the Coach's Corner is to provide coaching, education, and expert views, information, oral and practical assistance, while helping to educate those seeking to understand and to become actively involved in the sport of cricket, both nationally and internationally. The segment of the Coach's Corner usually runs from 6:15 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and features Jatin Patel, Cricket Hall of Famer and multi-sport coach, administrator, and director of the Cricket Hall of Fame. Once again from me, Coach, it's good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Coach,
good evening.
Our discussion tonight centers on momentum and rhythm. And I'll start by saying, in cricket, rhythm is not a dance routine. How do you define or explain what rhythm is in athletic terms for cricketers?
The rhythm, simplest way is to explain is keeping the tempo or keeping the progression what they have started. In most likely the case is keeping the momentum up and going. You don't want to be having a slack. You don't have to be loose and whatever the energy efficiency or things we do. And those are the things becomes very important. Our focus on momentum is definitely the most important in cricket. Many ways, I will say. One of them is like we always say that the way the ball moves, especially for the bowler, and how they apply the force behind to see how they can generate the speed. Also, sometimes the swing and the ball movement. Now, these are the all things relies on the momentum. It also, on the other side for the batting, it applies the same way. We have been understanding this cricket for many years, where there is a common sense, like a new batsman has to get out on the pitch and try to settle down and try to stay as long as they can, especially for the test version. And those are the simple basics. And while they are settling down, they are looking for some singles. They are looking some confidence to make sure they are able to get the ball on the middle of the bat and they are able to strike well. Once they start doing it, means they are trying to get into the momentum. And then they are trying to keep going by increasing the momentum or improving momentum and start keeping scoring. And that is what we also call it the rhythm. Means we are in a progression, trying to keep continue what we are doing.
Okay. Thank you, Coach. Coach, is rhythm sustainable?
It's a very hard to say, but there are some simple examples where we can explain to the players how this rhythm works. Let's say you have a team plan in place and trying to restrain during the bowling at the fielding side to make sure that we are not giving away the easy boundaries. And at the same time, we are trying to contain the batsmen from scoring runs. Means we are looking at more dart balls and trying to create some trouble for the batters. But in reality, it only can happen if a couple of bowlers do well. So in other words, if the one bowler does too good, another is not able to deliver the same goods or same quality or same outcome what the other bowler is doing, then we call it we losing the rhythm. Both need to have the same goal in mind, same concept in mind, and when you're dealing with the team sport, both has to deliver what the team has decided. And that is why the rhythm becomes more important. If I have to explain batting, it's a very similar way. If after the fall of wicket, when you see the new batter is coming in to strike, and if they are not able to keep what the previous batsman had did, then we call it we are either losing momentum and we are losing rhythm too. What it does is, you have to keep continue the progression. let's say you are doing really good. Your opening pair was going, let's say, 4.0 average and put on 100 run partnership, and all of a sudden, if you slow down, means we are losing momentum as well as rhythm both. But most likely when we look into the ODI and T20 versions, it's all about picking up and keeping the rhythm and maintain the momentum. Means we need to do, keep continue what the progression is up to this point. You don't want to slow down, but look for the possibilities to improve the scoring rate. And that's how there's a momentum and rhythm both reflect to each other. There are plenty of examples where we are losing both for just one reason, under pressure, which is the game-related pressure, the psychology pressure because of the game situation. And all of a sudden, we can see how that can be a disaster when it comes to the outcome. We have plenty of examples where we can say, if you are running short of time, especially in test cricket, you're going into the last day, there are slim chances to win it all, but at the same time, it's a very difficult to bat out all day for 90 overs. And in those situations, what happens? The side collapses. As soon as you lose a couple of wickets, the momentum shifts other way, advantage to the fielding side. And then you got to start counting how we're going to grab these wickets quickly rather than let the other batsmen stay longer or keep scoring. And it has been the similar situation in ODI also. Depends how the batting team first did. If it is too high score, then you are putting them under the mental pressure. Now when they're trying to come back, it can be only two options. Either you picking up the momentum from ball one and keeping the rhythm to get going, and in that situation, you may succeed to chase down. But the other side is a difficulty. If you lose momentum, cannot maintain the rhythm, then the collapse is certain, and there is no way to win it.
Coach, it sounds like you're saying tandem, you know, rhythm works in tandem between two players at the crease. Anyway, what is the relationship between rhythm and mindset?
Again, this decides based on the mood. There is a, just use this word, the tandem is also a kind of word that it directly relates what we are talking about, right? But the most likely tandem is kind of simplest way to say, are you following? Something is already happening. Are you able to deliver the same thing or better? And that is what is in tandem. The simplest way to explain is, let's say one bowler is bowling really well, swinging the ball and able to beat batsmen a couple of times over and not giving any boundaries to them. Now the tandem word is definitely going at the other end. Is that other bowler is capable to do the same thing or better than the other end bowler? And that's how we usually explain. This is all about part of the mindset. You have to be strong enough to compete or maintain the mindset other player has shown to you. You have to be in a good amount of confidence to deliver and give your best. The other player is doing it during his opportunities. If it is overs, if the other ball is doing well, are you able to do well at your end? That's how these directly are related. And because of that, I will say the mood is the key and mindset is another factor which can impact. Because at the same time, you need to stay away from those all factors we talk about. to keep the mindset with the proper goal where you can stay focused and pay concentration. Means whatever the team plan you have or whatever you are able to do it, and to do so, these are the key criteria, we call it. Are you able to keep the momentum or improve the momentum? Are you able to keep with that rhythm? So this mindset has a definitely the importance there. If the player is not have proper mindset, then you are expecting the failure. Means they are losing momentum and rhythm and many other things. And because of that, the following individual, whoever is the change baller or whoever is we expect to come out, they have to deliver their capability under the pressure. And that usually doesn't go right way unless somebody has a strong mind to come out and change around the situation.
Coach, can rhythm be practiced or coached? Can you coach rhythm?
Yes, it is, because that is a thing we have to work on practices. We have seen plenty of batting practices nowadays. If you visit any local academy or game or practice game, you will see bowler has been instructed to bowl on off stump or outside the off stump. And there is an instruction is to avoid not to bowl full tosses as well as not to bowl on a leg side, which may turn into the wide, right? So this is the common instruction. Now, I will say if you are in a coaching side or if you are in a batting side and if you are under practice, normally what the practices are, one batsman is batting, and there are few bowlers are bowling in tandem or they are taking rotation one at a time, but they rotate themselves. So the flow of delivery is coming on regular basis. You don't want to have too much burden on one bowler. So normally you can see 4 to 6 bowlers are bowling one at a time, but in a different sequence to the batter. So over here, the rhythm can be trained. If you have 4 bowlers and if you ask all 4 bowlers to do the same thing, they will start doing it. But at the same time, we are expecting them, the one of the bowler is going to deliver more accurately, more effectively, and much better than the others. Now, in this situation, we are trying to tell those people or players who are behind a little bit, or maybe more than that, we are asking them to compete. Hey, can you bowl just like that bowler? Can you make sure that you are deliver what this other bowler is doing? So this is just like a one example where we have to see how we can establish this rhythm we're talking about for the game. Normally we see this thing between the two opening bowlers, two opening batters, two spinners. Why we see a lot of times, we normally see most common rule is what? If the quick bowler is starting, we will see the quick bowler at both ends most of the time. Unless they see some variation and bring one spinner at one end, another is like a quick bowler on the other side. But in a lot of cases, if you look following the test match or something, you will see as soon as they bring the spinner, they are bringing another spinner from the other side. So this is the where they are looking at the combination. And because of that, under the practice situation, these bowlers in a pair, they are asked to deliver certain way. Means they are going tandem for sure, but at the same time, we are establishing the rhythm they need. If the one bowler is turning the ball, we are asking another bowler to turn the ball. That can create a little bit difficult time for batter, whether he is facing bowler A or facing bowler B. So this can be done. It's all about practicing together and understanding the teammates and situation, and they can definitely deliver.
Thank you so much, Coach. Leon, any questions for the coach?
Yeah, I tried to make one. Coach, can rhythm be broken by the opposing side? And if so, what are some of the things you can do as an opposing captain to break the rhythm of the batting side?
It's a very good question, and these are the common terms which can apply both sides, right? To explain your situation, one of the best example I like to give you is a game between Afghanistan and Australia. There was a memorable game. Afghanistan doing so well in the game until Glenn Maxwell came, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, we can see that whatever the momentum and reason Afghanistan has it, they're starting losing it. And eventually, they lost it. But on the other side, the Australian pair with the captain on non-striker and Glenn Maxwell was scoring the maximum runs where he ended up with the double century. And because of that, clearly say that Australia changed the whole outcome from where they pick up the momentum and they gain the rhythm and they keep continue until the game is over. And at the same time, Afghanistan was so upbeat to begin with until that point. But because of that one partnership where we can say both terms, Afghanistan lost it, Australia win it.
Okay.
And it did not happen with one ball or one over. It took little long. That inning lasted for many overs. Means both teams, Afghanistan lost it gradually, where Australia pick up that one as a gradually. The only the thing is Afghanistan performance was going down, Australia's performance going up. So it's a simple explanation. If the one team is losing it, other team is gaining it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. I brought in Virgil, but I don't seem to have seen. Okay, he's...
You've lost Virgil, Leon.
Yeah, we lost him, yes.
Coach, does rhythm differ in male and female cricketers, or at least?
Now, these are the general terms, and I could say common sense. It's a very simple concept. It's not something explained into the theoretical ways, unless they are the professionals. But at the youth level and the mature level, I will count anybody under 30. They will pick up this thing based on practical way, opportunities, and experience. Means they are being blended from the practices or the practice games to understand. All right. And because of that, its intensity, its adoption and effectiveness may be a little bit different due to gender, whether it's a male or female. Concept is the same. Outcome will be the same. But the progression's intensity and the quickness, with quickness, can be a little bit variation, but I don't see much of a difference. But I can tell you from my experience, especially from the soccer, the woman's side is definitely strong-minded mindset players, and they will pick up this momentum and rhythm quickly and effectively compared to male genders.
Coach, I assume that as coach and trainer, you're able to detect rhythm or the lack of rhythm in players during a match. Is that too generalized, or is that something that coaches can do during the run of play? And can you do anything about it during the run of play?
Is not much, but we have to practice for sure. Everyone need to be able to understand and capable to deliver if needed. And during the game situation, there is a less amount of hope, we can say, where somebody can put little bit different than what we expect. The reason for that, in a game situation when the team is under pressure, we need the people with the strong mindset. If we have that capable player in the game who can turn around with the strong mindset, then yes, even the last minute information or signal given to them, they will adopt it and they'll try to perform what you ask for. But in most cases, it is impossible to change someone's momentum or rhythm unless they have practiced well. It is just like our skills and technical part of the game. You have to practice these things first before you apply or you ask someone to change their style or something during the game. It's like very difficult, but the most of the coaches do work around these things in practices first before they apply into the game situation.
Coach, during a regular match, the actions and involvement of spectators are an important part of the game. How does this action and involvement of the spectators influence momentum or rhythm?
They do. This is like a cheering crowd with you. And this is one simple example. When the team is playing home and the home team gets more support from the fan, it is all about their comfort and confidence go up because the fans are supporting them. We have seen plenty of time when something is needed. Let's say one example, if someone is close to century, we have seen a lot of time people start clapping as soon as bowler starts bowling from their run at mark. By the time he's delivered, fans are expecting that there should be action will take and the batter will complete the century. Now, if you understand this whole scenario is the fans are helping the batter to finish the task to reach the century. We can clearly say the fans are supporting the batter to keep that momentum going in a rhythm without losing wicket, and if they can complete the century. At the same time, we normally say boos and fans are criticizing players and making any rude comments or some unfair talks. Now, this can bring a distraction, especially to the fielders who are close to boundary. And plenty of time we have seen it. The player automatically get distracted. And because of that, even the cricket is team sport, we are losing this momentum. Because the one person is not in the same form or same mindset like everyone else does. And these things happen most of the time. And because of that, we can say analytically, home teams are winning more when they play home than they travel away. So fan has definitely impact into the performance side.
Okay, Coach. Coach, does the type and intensity of rhythm differ in T20 and test matches formats?
Normally, I will say momentum stays there. Rhythm can be different because of the format of the game. I can give the one example. The momentum is possible, whether you're pushing with the dart balls or whether you start scoring, let's say, 10 runs per over. You can keep momentum against any bowler as long as you have two settled-down batsmen. Now, that is one thing possible in a T20 version. But the rhythm may not be possible because let's say one batsman is heavy with scoring, another don't. I just give you the example about Australia and Afghanistan. It was a heavy. If you look at the rhythm, means pure rhythm is what? Are they both batsmen are doing same thing or producing the equal amount of effectiveness or scoring boundaries or something? No, it was only one player is scoring heavily, other is doing the support role, right? So there's a little bit variation based on the format and how this can be applied. Because to me, rhythm is a better in a longer version of the game, but the shorter version is, are you keeping up the pace, the intensity, the aggressiveness to make sure that you are increasing your run rate or net run rate? So whatever the effective criteria you have for the version of game, we need to maintain that. And it can definitely impact, because that is the reason now, if you look at this lately, a lot of T20s, BC, the average score is 200 plus. Now it's going up. Now it's going up because everyone is picking up. It's not about slow start. Everybody wants to make sure that they go about 9 to 12 runs per over as the average in 20 version now.
Thank you, Coach. Liam, any follow-up questions for Coach?
Yes, I just think about one. Is sledging is a method that can be used to help a batting side that is scoring consistently? Is sledging one of the things that we can use?
It can get both way. I believe we talked about this sledging situation under the distraction. It's a major influence because being everyone out there in a sport are the human being, right? It's a natural when someone says something to anyone, the initial attention does goes away from what we do. It's very simple. I can give you one example. Let's say you're driving car in the street. You are in the mood to go somewhere. You are in a full control of your own car, right? But all of a sudden, someone comes behind you or next to you and honk you loudly. What happens? Now, all of a sudden, you are concerned, why is horning, somebody is horning to you? Mm-hmm. Is it horning to you? Why is horning? So understand there's a moment you end up. As I said, you are in a full control of your car. You are driving your own way. You see everything clear up front, but the distraction did came out. So this sledging is a very similar situation, whether it's a baller, batter, or fielder. When someone say to other person, it definitely creates a moment of distraction. And after that, whoever is listening, these word statement or few lines are definitely changing their mood for two reasons. What has been said, is it something I need to take it? Do I need to think about it? And sometimes, the people who are not able to control their emotions to change the mood, they will retaliate. And in that situation, you lost momentum and rhythm both, because now you are in a completely different thing, which is not required or not important in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how this sledging can go. Now, when sledging happens, it's a prone. One wins, other loses. Now, whoever is the weak in terms of understanding this thing is the loser. The strong mind will be the winner.
Yeah. How about a bad decision for umpire? Can that also affect the batting side or the fielding side with the momentum?
First of all, we can't say there is a bad decision or a bad call from umpire. But yes, being as a human being, the mistake happens. And when these things happen, I will say whoever is a strong mind people or the good behavior people who believe in sport and they know spirit of the game and being a good sportsmanship, they usually swallow and move it from there. There is nothing you can change whatever it happened. It's a past. There is no need to be think too much about it. You have to be in a living moment and start working on it, whether you are able to do something in current moment or are you thinking good for the coming moment. There is no point to go backward. But yes, it is also again going through the mindset process. The decision can impact to the player's performance. It depends how seriously they take that decision.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you, Coach.
So, Coach, what you're saying is that mental attitude is influential in reaction and response and rhythm.
Yes, sir. We talk about this action and reaction, right? And that is where it stands. And a lot of players, some respond, some don't. It's based on the situation and their mental strength, we call it. We have been talking, like a lot of times, players get into the argument, players get into the disagreement. Players usually try to discuss on field, which may help some players, but usually upset the other players. That can happen. But the strong-minded people, like legend, we can say Tendulkar, or in West Indies term, I will say Lara or Sima and Chandrapal. Now, these are the players do not get into those moments. Even you say something, they don't care because they care about their own business, what they want to do and why they are there. They know their wicket. It's a priceless, and they are in the control to give it away or lose it. They will not do it. I will say simple is like find those plenty of legends. I just give you three. There are 20-plus legends I respect that they never get into this kind of situation. When they are on the wicket or pitch, means whatever they want to do, they will do it. They will stick with their goal. Anything comes in between as a distraction, they do not care too much about it.
Okay, so what effect does age, experience, and a player's ability have on their rhythm?
That is the part of the process, we call it the maturity. You don't expect something from a 12-year-old kid compared to what you expect for a 23-year-old kid. Now, there's a huge difference because of the age, because everything has related to not just age, but during this age, when the age is growing up, how much experience you are carrying, how much you are learning the game to become an expert in the game. And over the years, because of this experience and expertise, you may have experienced so many things. Now, from those things, how much you learn and how much you want to improve yourself, or what the judgment you're making based on your age, maturity, communication, there are plenty of points we can talk about it. But yes, it all can impact your outcome.
When preparing for a competition, coach, you might have rhythm, but does that rhythm become part of the training routine? For example, if you're say top of the table, for example, and you're due to play the team that's wallowing at the base of the table, do you change your rhythm routine, or do you increase it, or do you simply dismiss it altogether because you're playing a team of considered lesser strength?
See, it has nothing to do with the numbers on paper, to be honest. Every game is different. Even you say the team is coming bottom of the table, doesn't mean they don't know how to play. They might have the bad performances. They may not have a good, clicks, where the players has to perform, not able to, maintain and score higher. Let's say somebody scores like 10, 15 runs, but not able to score 50, right? So those kind of things we expect in this team. So in that situation, if I understand your question right, is do you want to change your momentum or rhythm because you are playing against the easygoing team and you expect like, hey, this is an easy win, we don't need to work hard? No, it does not work. The good player and the championship contender teams will not do it. They will not change the course because you are playing against the bottom of the table team. No, you have to keep continue. It's supposed to be the other way around. If you're going against that sort of team, then they will target how badly we can beat them compared to all other opponents. And that is how you can get going with the momentum and rhythm you need. Because this may be just one game. The following game, maybe you are looking at the competitor who is maybe leading the table. So you can't change. You have to keep continue what you are training for. And that is the reason we always say, practice like a game. And if you do that, then it can help you in a game.
In terms of a batter and a bowler, what is considered good or bad rhythm for a batter? What is considered good or bad rhythm to a bowler?
Well, if I have to take the bowler, then let's say you have opening bowler did really well. And let's say Maiden, and he was able to beat one, let's say. In order to keep that rhythm and momentum, do you have another bowler who can come out and give you the numbers just like the other bowler, right? Or better numbers in terms of defensive side. Means you have to beat it twice and maybe Maiden. Are we able to maintain that? That's the key. If your batter usually happens when the wicket falls, the new batsman comes and they will try to settle down and slow down the whole process. And then many times we have seen that this batter who is now settled down, been on the pitch for a while, but not able to pick up. And by when it starts picking up, by that point they are losing wicket. So now these are the things can happen. And because of that, we are looking for on a regular basis to see someone can keep up momentum and rhythm both in the game to help the team.
So we can emphasize then that rhythm relates to or does affect the outcome of a game. That is a given. Is that so, Coach?
Yes.
And would you say rhythm can be classed as a good?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, if you are not able to maintain or improve, then you are definitely going on losing side. And because of that, everyone is willing to try to. But yes, to your specific question, these both can reflect the outcome of the game.
All right. And how important is rhythm overall in team sport?
It's more of a how you maintain with your capabilities and abilities to help the team. Right? We have seen many times that one bowler takes wicket and the other bowler is picking up or starting getting the wickets. And when it happens, we normally see that one bowler may take 5 or 6 wickets and other bowler take maybe 3, 4, whatever it's possible. Now, this is, we call it the good momentum with the great rhythm, because both are working together to take everything possible out there in terms of performance. If you have just one bowler bowls well and he's the only one getting wickets, another is not able to contribute any effective effort, then yes, it can create a trouble, and eventually it will end up in a pressure to the person who is performing well. And the, so does it. The team sport is always depends on this momentum and rhythm. Like, for example, in basketball, or if you look at the soccer, or even this American football, what it is, we need the supporting role who can help you to deliver something, right? The passing is important. You can't take yourself the ball into the goal or the ring. And where it happens, the critical moment when someone of your teammates is helping you so you can finish the job the other player was not able to. So in a team sport, this is becomes more important as a supportive role as well as the leadership role. Both are possible, but it needs to be there, because when we say team, it's not about I and me. It's always about we and us.
All right. Thank you, Coach. Leon, before we wrap up, because we are at the point of...
I don't have another question, just a comment. I don't know if the coach can give us an example of a team who can counter rhythms or can implement rhythm. Example of a team, a present-day test or one-day team who can counter or implement.
It is possible, and the prime example I can give it to is the last World Cup final between India and Australia. India was the favorite.
Mm-hmm.
They hadn't lost any game during the entire tournament, and they're coming into the final as a favorite to win the championship. And what the Australia did with the 1 wicket at a time, 1 over at a time, call it 1 ball at a time, they keep continue the pressure they need to put on it. And they succeed. So here is the good example. It is possible in a team sport. It can be implemented anytime. It can be changed at any time. And during the process, you may lose it. But the good teams are always going to pick up and implement the right thing, and they will stick with it. And all it depends on execution. The plan need to be properly executed on field, and at the same time, the most important part during that execution are the players are able to deliver to the team's plan. That is most important thing.
Amen.
Okay, thank you so much, Coach. Thank you again for your insights, knowledge, and experience. We invite you to join us again next week at the same time right here on The Cricket Show. There is no doubt that Coach Patel have answers to the questions you have been asking. The question that says, how did he do that, or why did he do that? Maybe you will say, I am going to do that next time. Thank you so much, Coach, and we look forward to having you back with us again soon.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Coach. You were so helpful. Okay.
Well, Leon, we have not heard from...
Yeah, but yes, I believe he might be working late. He might be working late, so but we'll go along. When he comes in, he'll probably give us... the outline. We do what we have to do at this point until he comes. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's about time that we give an idea of the ones who are celebrating birthdays. Any significant occasion you wish to mention? So perhaps... he's right here. He's right here. So
right there.
Let's welcome him. Good evening to you, Audley.
Good evening, Mr. Francis. Good evening to all my fellow panelists. For listeners around the world, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to you all. It's a wonderful Sunday evening in my neck of the woods, so I'm here rearing, ready to go.
All right. Why don't you give us the inside edge first, because that really starts off the birthday, you know, this time. Always something to,
yeah, that, that,
particularly
I have
project.
A little problem. I have a little problem with that one.
Oh, okay.
And but hey, I'll give a thought inside it. Okay. We know that Lawrence Roe started his cricketing career by playing against New Zealand when he made that still record double century 214 and 100 not out in his test debut.
Mm-hmm.
But did you know that Lawrence Roe also ended his career playing against New Zealand? He played his last test match in 1980, and that was versus New Zealand. So he started in New Zealand and he ended with New Zealand. A soft inside edge for you.
All right. Anything better than nothing at all, I tell you. That's good.
Okay.
I didn't remember
okay.
that or know that.
Mm-hmm.
Go right ahead now. Do you want some more music? Do you like the music too?
Okay, no, I'll go ahead. Okay, so today is the 25th of February. Believe it or not, the month is almost over. Next time around the Lord's Spirit Life, next Sunday, we're talking about being in March. We'll be marching into March. So today, 25th, Travis Webb, Cardinals' cousin, Cardinals' friend, celebrating a birthday today, Travis Webb. And we all know the name Don Quarry out of Jamaica. Yeah, sprinter Don Quarry. He was born on this day back in 1951. So I think that make him 73 years young. Okay, cricket. We have Alma Vogt, female cricketer from Australia, along with Steve Rickson, Stuart McGill, Glenn Bishop, and George Bonner. We have from South Africa, Don Anawasiri. From Namibia, Craig Williams, he's the captain. Matthew Bell from New Zealand. We have from Denmark, Mustang Shaheen Hamoud. From India, Rook Engineer. We have from England, Wally Harding. Super commentator, late John Arlott. And we have Shakib Mahmood, also from England. Soya Shekhar from Bangladesh. And Ajit Gul Khan out of United Arab Emirates. For the 26th, Sonia Richard Ross, born in Jamaica, run for the United States, athlete. And we have Ariana Virgil's granddaughter. Ariana Virgil's granddaughter will be celebrating tomorrow. And Martin Crowe made his debut. Martin Crowe from New Zealand, he made his debut against Australia back in 1982. And Kimani Marley, one of the Marley clans, will be celebrating tomorrow as well. So back to cricket, we have Sir Everton Weeks. He would be celebrating. Of course, he left us 2020. We have Jabil Glenn from out of Jamaica and Justin Greaves from Barbados. They'll be celebrating then. Bill Thompson, Ron Grant, and Lois Barefoot from Australia. Matthew Pryor, Charles Coventry from England. Zubin Surat from Canada. Keith Thompson and Ross Dyke from New Zealand. Noel David, Venugopal Rayo from India, and we have Anas Khan from Hong Kong. That will be on the 26th. For the 27th, we have Lester King out of Jamaica, Norman Marshall from Barbados, Reg Simpson, James Treadwell, Ella Davidson, Sarah Glenn and David Mulling, who's the umpire, all from England. Joyce Bass, Ashley James Woodcock, Jimmy Masher, and Leah Poulton, female cricketer, all from Australia. Chris Sale and Liz Smith from Scotland. Graham Pollock from South Africa, along Iramus, umpire Iramus. And we have Mel Madison from New Zealand. And Emmanuel Hawke out of Bangladesh and from Ireland, Shona Sivright. For the 28th, the first death from COVID-19 placed in the United States back in 2020. Who will ever forget COVID, the damage it did to the entire world? Okay, and also Wesley Crump, a friend of mine. He's been celebrating his birthday also on the 28th. And Tony Becker, sports commentator and writer and everything out of Jamaica, he died on 2019 on this day, the 28th of February. And Pauline Leon's friend will be celebrating also on the 28th of February. So New Zealand, Ian Smith, Graham Vivian, and Linda Lindsay. We have from Afghanistan, Najibullah Zadran, Ashkar Mahmood, Naveen Ul-Hussein, and Yasser Ahmed are from Pakistan, Tim Bresnan, Edward Bastard, and David Willey from England, Ross Gregory from Australia, Clive Hales from South Africa, Tendike Chinera from Zimbabwe, and Hartley Allen from the West Indies. As we go to the 29th, yeah, for the first time in 4 years, we'll be doing the 29th. So Kenya, and this is one that ought to be very rare, because it was when Kenya bowled the West Indies out for 93 with all the big guns. Remember all the big guns. Rumor has it that the West Indies, you know, overlooked Kenya and they were out partying all night. So they came in, they were seeing 2-3 balls when, you know, one of them. Remember, as the rumor has it, don't call me. Okay, so Kenya made 166 and West Indies were all out for 93. Kenya beating the West Indies on the 29th of February. We celebrated every 4 years, bowled them out for 73. Okay, so we have Otto Fiber and George Pelwell from England, Malcolm Thompson, Gavin Stevens, Kevin Pierce, and Sean Abbott from Australia, Vishad Gore from India, Hamish Kelber from New Zealand, Lesrow Irish, play for Leeward Islands, he's from Montserrat, and we have Demindra Wanawira from Sri Lanka. And as I reminded you a while ago in the inside day, that was when it was the 29th of February that Lawrence Rowe made his last, when he played his last test match against New Zealand, that was back in 1980. So we have for the 1st of March, Sir Garfield Sobers scored his 365. That was when it was completed, back in 1958. 365 knockout. Also, DJ out of Jamaica, Burning Spear, will be celebrating his birthday. We have Liam Dawson from England. Shahid Afridi, Abdurrahman, Azam Khan, all from Pakistan. Wayne Phillips and Shea Harwood from Australia. Bandula Venapura from Sri Lanka, along with Sanjura Warasinghe. From India, we have Sehle Ashkut and Aniso Rahman out of Bangladesh. And also, Harry Belafonte would have been born on this date back in 1927. Finally, the 2nd of March, we have Andrew Strauss, Edmund Peed, Jim Thorson, and Chris Walks, all from England. McPetrie, Matthew Parker from Scotland, Chad Langton from South Africa, Dan Taylor, Stuart Gillespie from New Zealand, Saida Butt, female cricketer from Pakistan, Steve Small, Shannon Gontine, female cricketer out of Australia, Mohammed Milthorn from Bangladesh, Pankia Roy, female cricketer out of India, along with Dana Philip Davis and Anu Creep Singh. And that's just about what I have here for you for the birthdays and anniversary right now. Back to you, Leon.
Okay, thank you so much. And we're being joined by Virgil. Do you want to come in and give us some thoughts about your grandchild? Your grandchild is having a birthday eminently.
Oh, my belly.
You forget to call her?
Ariana Virgil. Ariana.
You got to call her?
Ariana's birthday is when? It's today?
The 26th. The 26th.
Oh, the 26th coming up. Oh.
That's tomorrow. It's not too far away.
Tomorrow. Today's too far
thank
away.
Thank you to remind me because I got to make sure I give her a call.
Mm-hmm.
The days is flying so fast, man, so you don't even know what day it is, man.
Yes. Thank heavens for the cricket show.
Yeah.
Exactly, man.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. So anything else? Anyone else?
Mm-hmm. No, I'll be silent for about 10 minutes because my mouth is full. So I'll be silent for about 10 minutes, but I'll put myself on mute.
All right. Okay. Yeah, okay. How about you, Hyacinth? Your mouth is full too? Oh, you haven't been eaten yet. Hyacinth is with us?
No, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, I think it's my nephew's birthday yesterday.
Which one? Well. Because you have so many.
I haven't got many nephews. Yolanda's son, Tyrone.
Yolanda's, my favorite.
Yeah, her son, Tyrone. God
Lord.
Birthday yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I think my aunt,
what's the name, Hyacinth? What's the name?
Tyrone.
Tyrone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tyrone.
Yeah. Yes, okay, we will remember Tyrone. Anybody else?
Yes.
How about you, Donna? Donna is with us, or she has, yeah, no, she has dropped.
Hello, I just have one birthday this week. I'm not even sure if it was mentioned by Audley, but on the 28th, I have a niece. That's called Tiffany Brown.
I'm looking for tomorrow.
She'll be celebrating on the 28th.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be her 29th birthday this year. So I just want to say happy birthday to Tiffany.
Tiffany, okay.
Tiffany.
Happy birthday
Tiffany
from all of us.
In
Tiffany
Florida.
From all of us.
Okay.
All right, thank you so much.
Yes.
Who else? Who else? I just want to say happy birthday in advance to Pauline. Pauline, she used to be my secretary. When I worked in Miami, she was such a perfect person. She speaks 5 languages. And believe in me, I can get her speak Spanish, French, Dutch, Patois, English, and something else. But she was very efficient, and I thank her so much for all she has done for me. She worked homestead, like if it were ours, you know. So, and she was very helpful. I appreciate her. And her daughter, Paola. Happy birthday, Pauline. She gave me a song, which I'm going to play because every time her birthday comes around, I play. Okay. So, anyone else?
Let me come in before you play that song. I just want to apologize.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that I was talking in the background. I didn't realize. I thought I put this thing on mute, but it wasn't. I realized I was coming to an end, so I apologize about that.
No problem.
Okay, so one of my friends, Glenn Kerr, he's celebrating his birthday today. Of course, I called him. And we were co-workers. I left, he went to Jamaica Defense Force and, you know, a place where I've worked for a number of years, 8. And we're all in connection with what we call the elite crew. So he is celebrating his birthday today. And another member of the elite crew, Margaret March, she'll be celebrating on the 28th. And that's this Wednesday. And Mr. Wesley Crump, I will come and tell him more about that one. That gentleman, Mr. Crump, he'll be celebrating on the 28th as well. So that's what I have. And it's the first day of Women's History Month. So March will be Women's History Month. And come Friday will be the first day of Women's History Month.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I have. Yeah.
You know, Crump, if my memory serves me right, he went to school with us. I went to school with him. I think he went on to the grammar school. So
yeah, he's from Antigua.
Yes, yes. Yeah, he went to the same school, St. John's Boys School. And then he left and Tink went to the grammar school, Antigua Grammar School.
Right here with us in Florida. He lives in Miramar.
Miramar, okay. I've never come across him, but he used to have a friend by the name of Donald Pickett. I can remember Donald Pickett quite well because he was working in a bank and he gave me my first mortgage, money to buy my first house.
Right.
So never forget these guys. When you go to school, keep in touch. And he used to have a band that we used to play in the band, but I couldn't play music, so I just hit a can to sound the rhythm. Okay. Anybody else want to say anything about anything of importance they want to mention at this stage?
Can I ask Audley?
Okay.
Let me ask Audley if I forgot. I want to do a Claire Virgil today. Who have I forgotten on my birthday list? You have a...
No, I don't have any for you. In that case, I would have missed it. But
well,
I haven't got any for you. Not on record.
I'm Virgil number 2 this week.
Yeah, okay. So I'm going to play a little song for everybody. Hope they like it. It's the Caribbean Gypsy by a group out of Haiti named Strings.
Dang, 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 dang
There's a little part there sounds almost so, like the Jamaican poor sign. Poor sign, long time, y'all may never see you come. Make me walk and talk.
That's some music, man.
All right, yeah, beautiful music out of Haiti. Yeah, give me a little more. That sounds good.
Take it away, Audley.
Oh, sorry. Okay, so that picking guitar in the highest caliber, I tell you, that was so good, so good. Mm-hmm. So this has been the Walter Henry birthday and anniversary hour. Just want to give a shout out to all listeners who have been listening and continue to listen over the in Europe, in Asia, in the Caribbean, right in the United States. Big shout out to Mr. Renford Doerr and the crew right there, live and lively, over in Nevis. All right.
Indeed.
Just to let you know, we're here on Sundays from 6 to 9 Eastern each Sunday. So join us next week, just about 7 o'clock. Once again, we do it all over again, the Walter Henry birthday and anniversary of that, Julia.
Mr. Francis.
Yes, sir.
My belly is full, so now I can concentrate and I'm thinking. Remember my granddaughter's birthday. I just want to wish my granddaughter, Ariana Smith, a happy, happy birthday. And I wish her all the best, and I love you out of this world. And, Mr. Francis, did you see Hyacinth doing that dance while you was playing a song?
You know something? I'm sure you got camera. I was here jigging. I'm sure you got camera in my room. I'm looking around. Honestly, when they played it the second time, I thought that music sounds quite good. Really?
Well, she didn't hear it, so that's for your Ariana.
Thank you.
I turned over to you already. You just gave up a little
while. Okay. All right. Well, over to you, Dennis.
Dennis.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Leon. And wonderful music, definitely. Brightness, all I can understand of Hyacinth's feeling right now.
I call it exercise.
Exercise. All right. Well, we now reach the fourth section of this, our program, where we have the focus on the laws of cricket. Today we're dealing with Law 33. Law 33 mm-hmm. presented by Bertrice Nesbitt. Nurtrice?
Hello again. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Good night.
Good evening, Miss Mertries. Mm-hmm.
Good evening. How are you?
Great, great.
Okay. So, the goal of this segment, Focus on the Laws of Cricket series, is to give a brief overview of the laws. We do not intend to give a line-by-line statement of each law. The focus today is on law number 33, caught. The batter is out, caught in a ball, legal delivery first, the bat, or the gloved hand of the batter holding the bat. A fair catch is made by a fielder who catches the ball before it touches the ground. Note that the hand catching the ball may physically be on the ground. However, the ball must not touch the ground. A legal delivery ball that is struck by the batter that subsequently strikes a fielder or an umpire may be caught to dismiss the batter. Similarly, a ball that is legally delivered and struck may come to rest in the pads of the wicketkeeper or clothing of a fielder. If the ball can be retrieved before it touches the ground, the batter is out. Additionally, if the ball rebounds from an object situated in the match playing area, the ball may be caught to dismiss the batter, provided that the playing conditions had previously indicated that occurrence as a condition of play. A fielder may catch the ball close to the boundary line, but because the momentum may take both the fielder and the ball across the boundary line, the fielder may throw the ball up in the air before crossing the boundary line, then return to the field to complete a fair catch. To be a fair catch, no part of the ball may touch the ground or lodge in a fielder protective helmet. And the fielder may not lean on, touch a boundary marker or fence in completing the catch. Additionally, the fielder must show clear control of his or her movement with the ball. No runs will be counted when the batter is out, caught, regardless of how many runs may have been complete before the catch was held. And the non-striker batter must return to his or her original end. And this is the end of law number 33.
Thank you so much. Bravo, bravo.
Thank you.
Bravo.
Thank you.
Thank you. Very
good.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Very
question, Mertrice. If a batsman edges a ball into his pads, a batter they call it now, right? Edges a ball into his clothing and he drops in his pad, and he critically just says to the umpire, excuse me a moment, he runs off the field. And the ball says,
what a scenario.
What scenario is right?
just being
It didn't touch the ground, did it?
It didn't touch the ground.
I can just imagine hearing Dennis out there and say, oh, just a minute, my friend. We need to complete this catch first before you get out.
You certainly sound like you must be in my head.
But the guy said, man, I need to go to the bathroom urgently.
Leon, what would you do?
Go ahead.
One of the things that was highlighted by this presentation today, of course, is the fact that you can catch the ball, throw it in the air before crossing the boundary line and come back over and take it. Now, the important point there is all the years that I'm sure Leon's been watching cricket, I don't think that prior to the advent of the IPL, I don't think you've ever seen that demonstration of a player catching the ball, throwing it up, crossing the boundary line and coming back. It has become quite a phenomenon these days in IPL.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that before, Leon?
Not before.
You know, somehow, I don't think the rule is fair, though, Dennis. You know why? Because you have a boundary demarcation, and the ball passes over the boundary already, and the fielder can throw it, the ball can go over the fence or the boundary marker, and the fielder can jump in the air, catch the ball, and throw it back into the field and complete the catch.
But Leon, how can you say it's not fair? It is the law. It's legal.
But what is the purpose of the boundary marker? And that's my point.
What about in baseball when they hit that home run? And sometimes the fielder and everything drop in the crowd and get you up, lying on the ground, whatever.
And what about in soccer now? How in soccer or football, if the ball passes, the circumference of the ball passes over the goal line, the goal.
Once the person is in the air and the ball is in the air.
I know it's the rule. I'm not contending that in the rule.
I just want to make a comment though when it comes to those catches that are being taken now, talking about over the boundary line, as long as they're in the air. First time in test cricket, you find that I think it's nowadays the boundary lines are being drawn in from the pavilion. It's like the pavilion and the boundary was the pavilion was the boundary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in most of the cricket world, it played because just test match and 4 day cricket were being played, right?
Yes.
And so therefore, when you hit a ball and you hear it's down to the boundary, you're sliding into the pavilion itself. So there wasn't any chance for anybody to do, or very rarely. That would have happened, that they wouldn't get an opportunity to do that and then throw the ball over. But T20 changes everything.
Yeah,
the boundaries are being brought in. So, you know, that's what's happening right now.
Yes, I agree with that observation, Brother Audley. It is, as you say, it is not something that we used to see earlier on. But now that the advent of T20 cricket, they have made that a feature that is certainly enjoyed and appreciated by the spectators to see if someone do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it usually involves a lot of physical activities and a lot of, you know, what you would call acrobatics in order to complete that. And that's a wonderful sight to see it when it happens. Back to you, Leon.
Okay. And any other observations or comments?
Just one more, Leon, that Hyacinth is on record for next week's presentation of the focus on the cricket. Okay.
One little correction there. I think I said the boundaries have been brought in. Actually, meant the boundary line.
Talking about the boundary lines, why is there so much deviation? You can have a 56, a 75, and in Australia you have a huge boundary line. You can't get the pass, hit a ball over that boundary line easily. There's some parts of the boundary is longer than others because they perhaps have to move the pitch north, south, as the case may be.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is what separates the men from the boys, Leah.
Yeah.
That's where separate the men from the boys. And some of the grounds are naturally small. So when you have to move one pitch to the right or to the left or whatever, it makes it even shorter on one side. Now, when you look at some of the players that are being prolific scorers and playing in certain leagues, and you find that they'll struggle when they go other places like Australia and, you know, England with that long boundaries, because where they were playing were much shorter boundaries. So when you hit a ball, for instance, Shander Paul came over here to Lauderhill Sports Complex, and he hit a whole lot of sixes. But when you look at that ground, it's small. So a ball that would have been caught on many other grounds was six. And you find that's what's happening to a lot of cricketers that are making a lot of scores. But when they go on the bigger ground, they're caught down in the deep easily. So that could make all the difference, ground to play now.
That is quite true, Brother Audley. And the fact of the matter is, as you mentioned it, I remember Rakeem Cornwall came to Florida and scored 200-plus runs.
204.
To Georgia.
Georgia.
200-plus runs on what is no doubt a boundary that, if you strike it on a normal field, probably in a single. So, yes, your point is well.
That is not a hard hitter, because he put them away, you know, on the bigger grounds as well. But, yeah, that wasn't an ICC sanctioned ground, so I don't think it has the length.
I'm going to butt in. Did anybody ever did it lately?
That's the point. Oh, before?
Okay, so you can say, it's just like where I play in Lauderhill up here. There's another ground we used to play on. Very, very small field. Sometimes people can't make 100, and sometimes they can't make nothing out them up. It's a small, small field. But sometimes you still can't cover it. But for international cricket now, normally it used to be 90 meters. That's
90
what it used
yards.
To be before.
Nowadays they convert to meters, which wouldn't be
feet. Now you're getting way, 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 way less than that. I mean, if you have a baby that was born, can even hit a six because they feel it so small.
But Virgil, you do know that the ICC does have rulings or recommendations that they accept for the boundary length. So I think there's a minimum. I don't think there's a maximum, but there certainly is a minimum that the ICC will accept for a ground to be considered suitable for first class or list A type cricket.
Yeah, but I think there's a maximum, because it always be 90. But what happens, sometimes some places that you play, you can't have no big field. So you got to play with what there.
Yeah.
But you know, one question I want to ask? Mm-hmm. Everybody talking, we used to say Batman. Now everybody talk about batter, right?
Yes.
Because it's man or woman. What happened to the rule that they call mankind? That's what they call mankind?
Mankind.
Yeah,
man
mankind.
Of the
mat?
Oh, mankind. Okay.
Mankind.
Okay. So what they're going to change that to?
Change what?
Mankind. It's a man.
Because it's not the gender. Because it's not the gender version. That was taken from an Indian player.
Mankind.
Right.
They need to change something else and take out the man.
That's not a gender thing.
Virgil, just for the record, I believe the ID has now changed that from that name is no longer applied to that particular way of dismissal. They have completely changed that. They removed that from the rules, or at least the way
mankind.
Described.
Whitechapel?
No.
No,
Maybe the name is changed, but they can't move that because other people can go on the street.
No. Virgil, they've removed the name Mankad from this form of dismissal.
Okay. So what do I call it now?
Is it Whitechapel?
Well, it doesn't mean that commentators won't call it Mankad still because it is something that it doesn't belong remembered. But
what's the name?
The ICC don't use it officially, you know, so they're going to say that person was out by Mankad.
Yeah, but what they call it now when it happens?
Well, you were out because you're illegally out of your creed. Basically, it's
right.
Another form of
run out.
But they no longer use the term Mankad to describe it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Vinu Mankad was an India player who believes that I think Tom Brown, the guy's name, he used to get a lot of runs, you know. They run threes when they're twos. Difficult to make. What they noticed, he was staying out of his gongs all the time. And this guy said, no, this is not right. This is cheating. So I'm going to run over. That's right. So anyway, nevertheless, let's move on. Anything else? Anybody else want to come in with? After, or let the games begin now.
All right. Thank you, Matrix.
Yes. Thank you. No, thank you. Yeah, we very well done. England versus India. Oh, my goodness. First of all, who thinks that India is going to win? England, 353 and 145. India, 307 and 40 without loss. One day to go. England needs to get 10 wickets. And India needs to get just over 100 runs. So,
You know what is interesting there, Leon?
Mm-hmm.
What is really interesting in that match? India will probably need 152 runs to win, and they've already taken 40 of that, so 102. But what is interesting in this match is that in the very second innings of this match, India opened the bowling in England's second innings with two spin bowlers. Although they have the likes of Siraj and Dean, or is it Deep, in their in their lineup. So it suggests that India knew very well what the pitch was designed, can I say designed, or would do after the first day. I don't know if anyone has seen the TV picture. If anyone has seen the TV picture of what has happened, what the state of the pitch with all those cracks in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it, you know, to me, I don't understand how a pitch can, certainly fall out like that. Crack on the very first day, it was like that. Any comments from anyone? And Leon, I'll just pop off for a second while I bring somebody in. Okay?
Yes. I got, I'm glad you mentioned that because England also played three spinners, Joe Root, Tom Hartley, and Basker. And Basker got a good haul in the first innings, he got four. And all the teams, England obviously knew that the pitch was one that would favor the spin, so they also include three spinners in their lineup too, and that's perhaps the reason why they batted first, I believe, and they had a good start. But I would say they let it off when they did not score enough in the second innings, and that is a result of their in this position now. And I feel India is going to make the runs. It's going to be difficult, but You got to put the mute on at the end. Your call is coming a little bit. Anybody? Yeah? Audley, you want to come in? Oh, he's not with us.
Hey,
Virgil? You want to come in?
Yeah, what? Can you hear me?
Yes, no.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes,
okay.
We hear you.
Yes. Yeah, because we realize you know the pitch, both captains. I think both captains inspect the team, at least from each side, and they know what's been happening before, and you can just take the book from India. You see, they're not playing three seamers. You know, they're playing spinners, and it has been an established fact that whenever you go to India, it's very rare that the pitches are not taking spin, So therefore, if you want to, as it turned out, India used the same their method to beat India on the second test, because the spin not did it all, you know, mostly spin, mm-hmm. and they came back when India won the third test, and now, with each side having three spinners, it's going to be a battle of will, you know, who is going to be able to stand up more. Because it's going to be the third, the fourth day, or is it fourth or the fifth day? But it's the fourth inning. So you know what happened? When that ball started to hit those cracks and the ball started to turn sideways, I think India may win, but it's not a foregone conclusion. Because they still have 150 odd runs to make, and with just, and especially if England should get an early breakthrough, they could be a problem for India. I would say they have the upper hand, but I'm not writing England totally off, because you know, Stoke made a statement that England can still win the series 3-2, and it could happen. As I say right now, I'd rather to be in India's shoe. Where the match is contrary right now. But as I said, it's not a foregone conclusion. England still has a chance to win the match.
Here's a chance for India. England, of course, but it's going to take a lot of work.
Another thing, Leon, just before you go on, is that they are India. Pant is not here, and Rahul is sick, and the wicketkeeper batters that India are bringing in, they are doing great jobs. You know, two younger guys that they played, they tried this one now, was on debut. He made 90 in a time when India were really in trouble, and he came in, and I remember the wicketkeeper batter was here as well. He stayed there and formed a good partnership, I think, with Jadeja or somebody else, and enabled India to pull through. So as it's shown once again, it is vital that your wicket keeper is a good batter. It's very important, because they're in that position. So that's sometimes when a wicket keeper may not be the most efficient, but because of his or her batting, you'll find that they'll get the edge, because it's necessary to be a good batter. That's it.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dennis.
Yeah, the new inclusion is name of Durrell.
Yes.
And he scored 90. But you know what's interesting? Shubman Gill, Jase Walls, Durrell, all youngsters who have just been elevated into the first class team, and they are performing admirably for India. But you know, the other thing which I wonder if we might take a closer look at, India has some very good seam bowlers or quick bowlers, whichever, you know, adjective you want to use, who can do damage on most wickets. So why is it that India is preparing a wicket that on the very first day of play has these huge cracks in it? That doesn't make much sense to me. So something.
I will say, it makes a lot of sense. The wily veterans in that right now. But you have Ashwin, who is on the top of everything right now, and you have Kuldeep Yadav, who is a destroyer. So and it's much easier work, and you know that guys, those guys are going to bowl in 30-odd, 40-odd overs if necessary. So, you know, I guess that's why they're using this. And traditionally, they are known to be Spinner's Paradise. So I guess they continue doing what they know.
But if you don't mind my saying so, Audley, and whoops, let me, I just lost my screen here. India has got Siraj, who we know what a very good bowler Siraj is. They've got Bumrah, they've got Mohammed
Shami.
I am aware of that. They've got Shami. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying to you is India has quick bowlers who are quite capable of bowling all day, just like the slow bowlers. So why is it necessary then that you're preparing a wicket? You're preparing a pitch that is visibly cracked on day one.
The fact remains, Dennis, is it unfair if I have three of the most leader? No. You say, why? So I say, they want to win, number one, and if they have the bonus to suit the pitch that they're going to prepare, nothing is wrong with us. If they come to the West Indies and we fast wickets or fast bowler, I wouldn't quarrel about that. Now, is it unfair for them to do a pitch like that? That's the question we ought to ask ourselves. Is it unfair or is it illegal then? I don't think so.
I don't think it's illegal. I'm simply asking the question. If you've got quick bowlers that can do just as much damage as the slow bowlers, why do you need to...
It boils down to the question. They want to win, and they prepare the wickets to suit their most lethal bowlers. You have in Ashwin, Jadeja, and Kuldeep,
Akshar Patel has been in this one.
Yeah.
But you know what I think?
Yeah.
Let us not forget that the Indians were undone by the English spinners as well. So it's an open market. It is saying if you can do that, we can do that too. And Bahati destroyed him, and then you have this guy, you know, young spinners again. I mean, they are doing a great job. So it's equal opportunity. And I think they have been the Indians have been fed with spin, you know, in the Randy Trophy and all. They are pacers, yes. They are pacers, but you know, when you talk about spinners, you don't talk about Pakistan and India. You know, the sort of spinners they have produced over the years. So that is what they are depending on what they have used to dominate over the years. I think they will continue doing that. And especially with Ashwin just hitting his 600. Now he got a five, but he has got, as an Indian, he got the most wicket against England. So he's up there, another record for himself.
Well, it's, you know, you remember in the days when I had Betty, Chandrasinghe, and there's another three-pronged spin. Prasanna. Those guys, too, they used to do that because they know their wicket self would favor their bowling. And lots of teams could not play the spin.
But in those days, Leon, it was after Capital Devon, you know, like Chongong and you have Inchanali. Not internally, some alley. They just bowl like two or three overs just to get a little thing off the ball. And then it was immediate spin. It was spin all day. Yeah, so that was the strength and still is. But the difference now is that they have world-class fast bowlers now. Ever since the advent of Kapil Dev, right? And come down, you have one or two, and now they have a bunch of fast bowlers that can compete against any of the best fast bowlers in the world on any team.
Virgil, anything from you before we bring in Simon? Simon, good evening to you. Brother Simon, you're on live on your mic. Is it mute? Oh, no. He's not muted. No. He went to get tea. Any other comments about England? Who says that England is going to win? Anybody say that England will win?
I'm not saying they're going to win, but I'm not writing them off. I'm saying they have chance 50-50 like India. 50-50.
Okay.
I want India to win. I want India to win, but I said India have the 50-50 chance.
Yes.
If I may comment, India has the whole day to make 150 something runs. They haven't lost any wicket yet.
Exactly.
I can't see India losing that game. I don't care what England try. They're going to be very good tomorrow. Very good to win the game if they're going to win tomorrow.
I am in agreement with you, Dana. And Miss Dana,
I'm not saying you're wrong. That's your opinion, of course. But I'm just saying we have seen many collapses. You know, going after
that's
like
what
220.
Saying. England got to do. They got to do. Very
yeah.
good tomorrow. They got to bowl very well.
And
you got a great collapse for them to win.
India cannot go out there and just pushing forward and prodding forward. Because before you know it, they could lose 1, 2, 3. When you look 5 wickets down and they still have 50-odd runs to make, they can end up losing the match. As I say, I want India to win, but I give
the amount of firepower India got, I don't see them losing this.
No, but look in this match. They've been bowled out for just 100 and something before, you know? As a matter of fact, they were 90 yards before our wicket went down, or thereabouts. And then they crumbled, you know?
I think England lost a part of the plot when they allow England to score so much in the first innings. I didn't expect them to score 300 runs in their first innings. They scored 307 when they were down. England scored too many runs in the first innings.
But I'll tell you something. I thought they would have scored more, that they collapsed in the last part of it, because when they're all over 353. I thought they would have made more runs, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
You know,
they didn't know how to get out of the keeper. They couldn't get out of the 90
right, so,
runs.
So,
yeah, that was...
So it was looking so good for them in the first innings. But then when it came on, and let us not forget that even in the... let me look up something here. Even in this one, when the first wicket, 19, then second, they made a sort of recovery at 110 for 4. 19 for 1, 19 for 2, 65 for 3, 120 for 4. And then, you know what happened? The rest just fell like dominoes, right? The other 6 wickets went down for little or nothing, just 30 odd runs.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. And the same thing can happen to India. As I say, it's my team. I don't want it to happen. But they have to make sure Sharma has to stay out there, and Yashawal is in the form of his life. Because even first, and he came up there and he scored, I think, 70. He scored 73. And the young wicketkeeper batter came in and 90 to help put respectability on the Indian score, that they were the deficit was only in the high 40s. Could have been much, much more. And let's give big time congratulations to Kolibia Dab. He is seemingly he's now the official night watchman for the Indian team, as long as in the team. He's coming out and negotiate the dark hours prior to close of play. And he stayed there and he batted. He made 28 in 131 balls. So he stayed there that the other guy could continue to pile the runs. So he's doing his job with the ball and with the bat.
And the bat.
Yes.
One point of information, Leon, that somebody said that there was one day remaining, but no, there are actually 2 days. India has 2 days in which to score 100 plus runs.
Okay.
2 days.
So they're going into the fourth day.
Yeah, no.
So today they'll be going in the fourth day.
They're going into the fourth day.
Fourth day tomorrow. India
or
can.
Tonight.
Yeah, India can never lose that.
We should never lose it, Leon.
They should never.
Opposite word.
They have to get old Virgil Chandrapal.
Exactly. And he's going to make about 65 out of that run.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You can't get him out. They can't. They don't have the answer for him. And he stands in their way, in England's way. Any more comments before we move on? Anybody else?
What about the bowling performance of Ashwin? Nobody want to put them, you know.
In my view, Ashwin is really on top of his game, and he's getting his evergreen. He is in the form of his life, man, and the guy is just super.
He's getting bottle of good wine.
Yes.
You know, he's now 37. He's now 37. He has hit the 600 mark and start to pile up again. So Anderson is in his 40s, 41, and I think going 42, and he's still going strong as a fast bowler. So I think Ashwin could still be around for the next 2 or 3 years if he continues to take wickets. Sooner or later, he's going to be up in joining the 700 club.
Oddly, and gentlemen, I am surprised at this stage that Anderson cannot bat. You know, to save his life. At this stage, he should be able to be a better batter than how he's performing. You agree with me or no?
I think he's allergic to grass, Leah.
We are supposed to hold and he watch a cousin or what? But anyway. Any other points before we bring you say hello to Simon again?
I was gonna say, you know, I'm beginning to wonder about the DRS system when it comes to a ball that is pitched, whether or not the
ball tracking.
The ball tracking, thank you, Audrey. Whether or not that ball tracking is really up to speed. Because I've looked at some from, you know, just obviously observing it on visually on the TV. And to me, some of those balls look like ball tracking should never come anywhere near the stump. But yet, you will see it. And my thinking has been influenced by the decision and the apology made last week, you know, where they admitted that they got it wrong from the ball tracking side. And so it just confirmed to me that perhaps the ball tracking is not quite there yet.
Let me ask you something.
That has always been the
wrong
point.
On ball tracking, right? They get it wrong, or the computer pick up the wrong ball that was bowled?
They inserted the wrong ball.
Okay, yeah, thank you very much. Because it's not the ball tracking. It's the wrong thing is what they picked up.
Yeah, so they insert the wrong delivery. Yeah.
But
it's like a left-handed batting, and the next thing you know. They appeal for the left hander, but when they look on the thing, it's a right hander batting because that's what the thing pick up like a ball before or something of a sort.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because when you touch the wrong button, that's what will happen. If you touch, maybe the button went 2 seconds behind or five balls before or something like that.
So what you're saying is
you
was a manual.
But when you see things, let me tell you something. When you see things with your eye, right, only when they slow it down, you might not want to believe it. But just like they were showing in a casino, you're watching some people gambling, and they say the hand is quicker than the eye. Things happen. Somebody will pick up your trip, and you don't see it. Only when they slow the camera down, you see exactly what you see. So what we are seeing, believe you, don't believe anything. The eye can't really pick it up that fast.
Virgil, is that personal experience?
But gentlemen, your point is taken. Don't you think that England needed an all-rounder? Because Stokes can't bowl. He's a good captain, and he's not getting any runs. He needed an all-rounder to help with what, Yeah.
What is wrong with his building? You don't put him on? Why?
He was injured.
He's injured.
Yeah.
So you need a middle. You need a medium space in between. You need a shepherd. Anyway,
Pope is an occasional bowler, and he's not a genuine all-rounder. And then, of course, we have, Root, at one stage, he wrecked the Indians, but he's not always bowling. So I guess he'll have to fill a lot of that role, Joe Root himself.
Yeah.
And, of course, we have seen he has scored another century. And I saw something, I think I took a screenshot somewhere about here. If I find it, I'll show. And it's just showing what happened from 2020, the top five or I think the top five batters. And it is showing how many centuries and where they were and how much they are, where they are presently. And Root was so outstanding. I mean, he was way down. He has since scored about 10 centuries. And Kohli, we remember Kohli went to a very long patch without centuries. So I guess he had maybe just add one or two to his tally over that period of time. But Root and the captain from New Zealand there. Williamson. They have increased leaps and bounds way, 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 way up. So. Because they were arguing that none of the big fours were even in the top ratings when it comes to scoring centuries. None of them had at the time reached 30, but 31 as it were. But I think Root did that and maybe Williamson right now. I look at that again.
Yes, indeed. But let's wait and see. Let's bring in Simon one more time. Simon, are you in? Oh, you're
I'm here. I'm listening.
Yeah, we're calling you before. Do you want to come in now?
Good evening to you and all the panelists. And
yes.
I hope everyone had a wonderful week last week.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking forward to a much better week this week. Yes, I was listening all the time, but I didn't hear you shout my name, so I couldn't come
in. Yeah, we called you a couple of times, but you probably were not hearing me. How about giving us your question, a question for the panelists.
Okay, question for the panelists is, I don't know this answer and I'd like to know it myself. Has it ever been done in test cricket, and I'm talking test cricket, where we have two batsmen, well, you're saying batter. In my day, it was called batsmen. Two batsmen with two runners. Has that ever happened and when? Or can it be done?
They don't allow them now, for sure.
Okay,
but it could happen.
That's what I want to know.
Of it. I don't know
if you can have
no,
two
that's
runners.
My opinion. They have other panelists. Well, that's my opinion. I've never seen it done. I mean, it's done, but
no,
it's
I've
not.
Never seen it. I've never heard it.
It wasn't illegal.
I want to know
illegal.
If there's any rules against it that you can't have two runners.
No,
boy,
that would be some mass confusion.
Yes.
No, you can't have the runner, but before, you could have a runner if you get injured. So I don't know if any, at the same time, two batmen in the wicket that get injured at the same time that could not run, but they could still bat. But if it happened, it'll be yes, they would have to allow it because they never have a rule against it. But it never really happened. I never really see. I can't say it never happened, but I never really see it.
See
it happen.
Oh,
but no, it's a no-no.
I've never seen it. I've never heard of it. But I never heard any rules against it.
In my estimate, Simon, I've only seen runners used in club cricket. I've never seen runners being used in first-class cricket. Using two runners. It is really
it happened in international cricket too.
I'm not saying it hasn't, but I have not seen it.
Yeah,
that means that it's not something that happens on a dare I say, regularish basis. Yeah.
You wouldn't treat no period.
Right.
So it's not permitted.
No, but based on Simon's question, I'm saying I've never seen it in international cricket, but I've only seen it in club cricket, and I doubt if you would have two of them because it would be, as Audley said, a phenomenal, what was the term you used, Audley?
I forget the term, but it looked like mix-up, you know, confusion,
yeah.
Something like that, I think.
A phenomenal,
it is confusion when you have one.
Not
it will be more confusion when you have two.
Yeah, because both batsmen sometimes run with a runner, and that could be difficult. Sometimes you can cause a runner.
Yeah, if the batman that is sick is out of his crease, he will definitely,
yeah,
under hit the stump, he will definitely be out.
Yes.
Well, Simon, the question, the answer is not now. It could possibly happen, but I have never seen it happen. There are two.
I've never seen it either. But I just want to know if there are any rules against it, that it can't be done.
But no, they can't do it now, so as far as I know.
Okay. No, I've never seen it done, but I wonder if there are any rules against it, you know. Because two men can be injured. Two men can get injured.
But now,
it's possible to happen.
What I want to do the next time I play, I want to have a runner. So if somebody run up, I'm giving the ball, and I deliver the ball.
You're a runner. but what I really query right now, Simon, is if a batsman is injured, no one can replace him to bat for him, but a fielder can replace him in the field.
Yes.
I have an answer here for you guys. I don't know if it how long it was. It says if you ask, I was asking if you know the question, if two can both batsmen at the crease have a runner each, and say if you ask about limited over ODI whatever, that is not allowed under any circumstances. He may leave the field and return later in the inning to continue the inning. However.
Yeah.
In the longer version of the game, a.k.a. also known as test cricket, there can be two runners at the time of both the batsmen provide umpires agree and the opposing skipper also allowed to do so. So he's saying if the umpires agree, you know. But I know that I don't know how long this was printed. There's no date on it. Oh, yeah, it says 7 years, 7 years ago. So maybe before the thing was changed.
Before,
because now you're not supposed to have anybody running for you. So this was from 7 years ago.
Back to my question.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Back to my question.
Because two men could get injured. Two men could be hurt.
Back to my question. Is there a need for them to change that law? In terms of a batsman that is injured, he's not being replaced, if he can't take any further part in a match, and you allow a fielder to feel in his place?
I don't know if the thing that some players were taking advantage of the situation or what, but I don't, like for instance with Glenn Maxwell in the World Cup, and it was obvious that the man was in pain, you know. I mean, after you drink the amount of water, fuel and things like that, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, you can't drink enough, so your body start to eat from inside, you know, your muscles and stuff like that, because it doesn't matter, you're out there hot, you're running, you're sweating, and you drink and, you know. And because of that, he was cramped all over, but yet he was not allowed to use a runner. So I guess to say it's good for one, it's good for all. But I think the player's health should be taken in mind. There should be certain clauses then that, you know, under certain circumstances, it will be permitted. Under XYZ, it won't be permitted. You know, I think they need to look at individual cases.
Yeah, but it's easier for the player to go off, get the treatment, somebody is going to bat and come back after, you know. Because if you go out there cramping, man, it's cramp is not easy. And for you to play a shot and then your foot cramp up on you, I mean, to me, it's wasted time. Go deal with the situation. Let somebody else come in, get yourself better, and then come back out.
Let's do this. Let's speed up a little bit because time is running out on us, okay? The four-day championship.
The Lawrence Jaguar Hour from 8 o'clock is now 8:15. Lawrence Jaguar Hour.
I'm just going to give the scores. Leewards versus Trinidad. Trinidad lost by 4 wickets. Leewards 130. No, Trinidad 137 and 342. Leewards 318 and 165 for 6. Leewards winning there by 4 wickets. Comments, gentlemen? Audley, you want to go first?
I've been following them.
We're talking about the 4-day game, Leon.
Yes.
We have the scores. I mean, the winners, of course, Barbados.
Let's take them one at a time. Let's take the Trinidad and Tobago versus the Leewards, because I want to make a small comment here. But go ahead.
Trinidad and Tobago. Well, in that match, we had, 137 and 342 Trinidad. And, of course, Leewards won 318 and 165. The thing about this match for me, Leon, is that there were some good scores from the Leeward Island players, where we see Kyron Powell with his 65 and Jewel Andrews, would you believe it, that 19-year-old superstar. He scored 87 runs. And Jeremiah Louis 41, but of course Anderson Phillips, he bagged 4 for 62 in that second. But the second innings of Trinidad was where you had Jason Mohammed scoring 49 and Jig Gooley again. I think he had a good knock on the previous day or the previous round. He scored a 64. Again, that match was certainly a very interesting, because we had Jewel's 87, and of course Jewel also had a 48 in the second innings.
Right.
So it just goes to show that we do need to give these youngsters the opportunity to show what they can do, and. Leeward performed very well. Racking Cornwall 2 for 5. Can you believe it? In 3 overs in the first innings, and I believe he also managed 3 for 68 in 36 overs. I hope Virgil is listening. 3 for 68 in 30 overs.
That sums it up, right?
Yes.
In a nutshell. Yes. But one thing I want to point out: saw the catch that Rakim Cornwall took off of the Trinidad Semper? Is it Semper? Let me tell you what the guy's name. He took a bowling card, stretching his full length on the ground, Virgil, and took the ball inches off the ground. And a fit man can't do that. That's all I have to say. Could I nobody has described it to you?
No, I saw it on YouTube. Somebody put it on a little chat. So they asked, what do you say about this sketch? And I wrote on there because I know, I tell the guy he's not going to get no comment because certain people in the chat do not like Cornwall. If you want to get a comment, put the one that he get run out, and you hear everybody have everything negative to say. So said about 2 hours after, you see the comment coming. This guy say, "Oh, that's a routine catch." Now, if you really look on the catch and see where the guy was and where he went down, and you say, "Oh, that's a routine catch," like everyone, because nobody will give him the credit for what he does.
That's not
and
the only
catch they did not put it on YouTube just because it was just an ordinary catch. It would not go there to be an ordinary catch.
Where
they
playing?
Move on.
Where they playing? In the Islands or in Trinidad?
Yeah, they're playing in St. Kitts right now.
St. Kitts,
and Jamaica. Barbados, Jamaica. Moving on, folks. 269, Jamaica, and 292. Barbados, 389 and 176.46. Barbados winning there by 4 wickets. 269 and 292. Barbados, 389 and 176.46. Barbados winning there by 4 wickets. Go ahead, Dennis.
Yeah, you know, in that match, I saw Jermaine Blackwood. Can you believe this? Jermaine Blackwood faced 33 balls before he was able to score one run. And in the long run, he scored 18. In the second innings, I think he scored 18, but he scored a duck, or did he? At any rate, it took him 33 balls to score one. And having said that, guess what? Craig Brathwaite, I know he scored 129 in 290 balls. But can you believe Brathwaite actually took 19 balls before he scored a single run? To me, that type of performance, and I've been watching some of these four-day matches, the performance to me of the players, it's just not up to scratch. It doesn't look like first-class cricket. Their players should be ready for test matches. These look like just ordinary club cricketers. Where are you seeing this kind of performance?
142 from 314 balls with 15 fours and no sixes. Whom do I blame for this? The openers in the Caribbean. They make Craig Brackett look like he is, you know, infallible. He's not. He cannot be dropped because nobody is threatening him. Nobody is threatening him to remove him from there. Because 142 he made from 314 runs, 14 balls. That is a strike rate of 46. I agree with you, Dennis. That is not acceptable at all. The young guy, Wickham, made 63, and his 63 came from 93 deliveries. Strike rate of 68. And then he had a 44 by Shane Dowidge. And why did Barbados pick Shane Dowidge? I don't know. But they just want to win and not to groom any young players. Anyone else want to comment on the Barbados Jamaica side? Where is Jamaica cricket going, oddly? Where is Jamaica going, Dennis?
So what's the result of the match? What's the result of the match?
Barbados win by 6 wickets. 4 wickets.
Our backs has been against the wall for the past couple of seasons. There's not much looking up for Jamaica at all.
But oddly, it's not that there's not much looking up. There's just not much looking up in terms of quality for four-day cricket in the Caribbean. I haven't seen anything where they look like they were, you know, comfortable, where they were happy, where they knew what they were doing. It looks like ordinary weekend, Sunday afternoon, local club type.
Curry goat match.
Yes.
Sorry,
the standard low.
That's what it looks like, oddly.
But there lies our problem, Dennis and Leon. There lies our problem. Yeah. That's why when they are elevated to the international level, you have a lot not performing because the bowling is ordinarily what they are facing. Is ordinary what they are facing.
Yep.
And with that, you know, when you come up against class bowlers, they are really left out of sea, you know?
Indeed.
The combined campus Christian colleges versus the Windward Islands. College, 204 and 315. Windward Islands, 395 and 128 for two. The Windward Islands winning there by 8 wickets. It looks like the Windward Islands are going to win the championship this year, folks.
Well,
good enough.
Yes. A few more rounds to go yet, Leanne.
Two more rounds to go, yes, but yeah. They never. Any comments, anybody? But
well, you know, we had that. What was remarkable was the Leeward Islands had a partnership in the middle of their inning between Kevin Hobbs.
Windward Islands.
I'm sorry.
The Windward.
Kevin Hodge, 158, and Ambrose, 120. Those were the two who featured in that 395. Everybody else ended up being just onlookers because they scored between them maybe a combined.
Yes, 278,
and the rest was. With extras, they made it at 395.
278, 158, and 120.
Romario Greaves collected 5 for 142.
Yes.
And he batted and scored 63 in the like the second innings of that match. Alex Athanase, 58, and Solozano. I think he scored in the second innings. He managed a 42, which, again, pleases me to see that he's at least beginning to get some runs. He was 42 not out in that one. So it is very, very interesting and very important to see what
happened. Jonathan Carter scored 94-2. You mentioned that? And Romario Greaves, he scored 6-something, like you said. But Jonathan Carter scored 94 too. Okay, moving on to.
Moving on to
the other match, Guyana versus the win with the West Indies Academy. Guyana 175 and 415 for 7, thanks to 165 by. Is it 165 by St. Clair? Let's save them to put them up to 417. And the Academy scored 162 and 207. We had a good knock by St. Clair. And the bowling got Isaiah Thorne. He got 4 for 49. And also, let me see who get wickets for. And then Joshua James, he got 4 for 43 as well. Comments?
Leon, did Isaiah Thorne got 4 wickets in which inning? The second inning?
Let me see if he's the second or the first inning. Yeah, Joshua James and Isaiah Thorne in the second innings got.
No, you sure? Because Isaiah Thorne, I thought he got no wickets in the first and
no,
two
four.
Wickets in.
Oh, okay. Well, they have it offline then. They have it offline.
Yeah.
He got.
Two wickets in the second innings and no wickets in the first, but from my. From what I'm looking at.
No, that's the wrong thing. They have this offline. But anyway, take it for a win for the Guyana after the sending up. They win there by...
But, Leon, you know what is this...
221.
About the this, again, I'm... There's an innings of 415 by Guyana. In the first innings of this match, we had Sander Paul, you know, the West Indies superstar, as we thought a year or so ago when he was taken down to Australia. Sander Paul goes to 14 runs in 46 balls in the first inning. And in the second inning, he scored Second innings, he scored 22 runs in 49 balls. Now, to me, you know, a first-class test player, supposedly of Chandler Paul's ability, should not be struggling. And ever since his Australia tour a couple of years ago, he seems to have lost his ability to do what we expect of him in cricket. If I expect anybody to fail, I don't expect Chandler Paul to be failing, struggling as badly as he's struggling right now. We also had Jordan Johnson. He scored 54 runs and 2 runs. Now, Thorne, Johnson, and, of course, Jewel are all under 19 players who've been drafted into the first-class series. I think that we need to be drafting more of these under 19 players into the first-class series.
Agreed. Push them to the fire. Let them work their way, learn. If they even lose, I don't mind. Put them up there and let them face the music. Anybody else want to comment? Anyone else? Anyone else have any comments on the Jamaica, the Guyana? But for that, it is a 165. Jamaica would have been struggling. Anyway, they're going to bring back some of their big guns. The wicketkeeper.
Who made 165?
165. St. Clair.
Who made 165?
165.
Oh, Kevin Sinclair.
Yeah, Sinclair made 165. But for that innings of 165, the innings, Jamaica, then 415 for 7.
Okay.
So you got a 58 from Kenroy Savery, the wicketkeeper, and who else made some good ones? But and they have a 51. Okay, yeah, okay.
What are you looking at?
The West Indies Academy.
Oh, 50. West Indies Academy.
Yes,
okay.
So that's it for the time. They're just going to bring back some stars. Guyana going to bring back Moti and Limerick or Kemrick. The keeper, the young under-19 keeper. Yeah, so,
you say Guyana's going to bring back Moti. Moti played in the last match and got 3 wickets.
Okay, well, that's the last match, okay.
Yeah, he played in the last match. If I remember correctly, he got 3 wickets.
Okay, let me see if they... Yeah, you might be right. Let me see. Jamaica?
Yeah, Moti got...
Played and he made 7.
Okay.
35. Seven from 25. Yeah, I get a write up here that he's gonna be back. That even make it worse.
He got 1.25, and I think in the first innings, he had 3 for 31 in the first, and 1 for 35 in the second.
Okay, a new name has been given to the Antigua and Barbuda CPL team. The official name is Antigua and Barbuda Falcons. We have a bird in Liberty named Falcons, or in English,
the fastest bird alive. Fastest bird alive. They have been clocked at over 200 miles an hour.
200 miles. Yeah. But I'm asking him if we have one in Antigua. I've never seen the falcon in Antigua.
I don't know falcon now.
I'm trying to figure out what the name falcon. Yeah. Did you send in the
might as well, they don't have one of them bird, especially they have a lot of them different species of bird.
Some folks wanted to use blackhawks or hawksbill.
It's been used before, so they just want to try something else, you know?
Yeah.
I think.
Hardly. Let me tell you. You see, Mr. Francis said something about hawksbill. There's a hotel named Hawksbill. Down at that place, right, there's a rock in the water, and when you look on it, it looks like a heart. That's why they call the heart alone, the heart bill. It's shaped just like, if you see from far, it looks just like a heart.
Okay.
One more observation, Leon, about the performance of Pat Braithwaite. He scored his 129 in 290 balls. Rohit Sharma, he scored 131 in 196 balls in the test match. So what does that tell you? You know, I'm very, very disappointed in performance.
For years, I've been saying that he is one of the reasons why we can't win so much. Luckily, we had Sharma doing it in the test match to do some damage to the Australians. But they seem to have faith in him, so they retain him. I just blame some openers to put their hands up.
I was about to say that you reminded us. You know, you reminded us that because the other openers they're not kicking down the door. So yeah, rightly said.
I hope little Joe and Andrews and them guys will take an opportunity and they give them more play. Okay. Just to remind the folks, well, now everybody knows about Sharma Joseph getting drawn up by the Lucknow Super Giants, is he? Yeah.
So more importantly, Leon, does everybody know that he was voted Player of the Month?
Yes.
He made such an impact, it was impossible to look at anybody else, period.
Yeah.
I thought he was playing in the
Pakistan
Premier League.
Yes. But I have heard his... I haven't seen him either.
He was probably signed, but he hasn't appeared yet.
He must have been in the Nets bowling. But he probably used these guys to bowl in the Nets, you know? Sometimes...
But remember... Only 13 matches have gone in the Pakistan Super League, so quite likely that he will make an appearance at some point soon.
Mm-hmm.
Although, does anybody know which team he was that? Was it Peshawar?
Yeah, no,
I
tell you.
I don't know what team is that.
Yeah, I think he signed for Peshawar as well.
Peshawar.
The same team that Rahman Power plays for. You know, I think Peshawar, they played, two matches so far as I can tell. Three matches so far as I can tell. So,
yeah, but
how many matches is there in all?
Let me give you. Pakistan Super League, they're going to be 32 T20 matches from February 17th to Pakistan Super, 34 T20 matches.
Mm.
And, Peshawar, he's fourth in the championship. Let me see if I have. There's 14 in the championship.
And you know when they end? When it end in what time in March?
It's gonna end in
March the 18th.
And just for a note, I mentioned the India Premier League will start March the 22nd and end May the 26th. And they're only playing 21 T20 matches. It seems as if that there are more.
WPL, is that WPL? Mine is the woman.
No, India Premier League. Chennai Super Kings going to play against the Royal Challengers Bangalore on March the 22nd at 10:30 a.m. our time. So it's India Premier League 21 T20 matches, March the 22nd, and ends May the 25th.
When the women start?
The women are going to have...
23rd of February.
Mm-hmm.
23rd of February to the 17th of March.
Mm-hmm.
They've played two games already.
They played two games already.
Oh, that means I'm watching... That means this is...
No, they play, The women,
no, I'm watching a game here with...
They played three matches already.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm watching a game here. And I guess it's a replay.
Royal Challengers
was
played
game.
One match. And they won it. While the
so
Mumbai Indian women's won. They played two matches and won two matches. And let me tell you, they're going to play 22 T20 matches from February. Yeah, the Mumbai Indians, that's a replay. That's a replay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So two for two, Mumbai Indian ladies and Royal Challengers, they won, played one and won one. Where is Haley Matthews play for? Which team Haley Matthews plays for?
Mumbai.
Okay, all right. So she's on the winning team. And how about Deandra Dottini? Has she been given an opportunity back?
No,
anybody heard?
I haven't seen her anywhere.
Anyway, so we just hope.
But, Leon, you know, I've looked at the squad for the Pakistan Super League, and I haven't seen Jamar Joseph's name on any squad.
No, but he, they're saying, no, I know he's going to play for the Lucknow. Joseph signed with Lucknow, Super Giants. I think this is the same team Al Jarrah used to play with. So
that's not in Pakistan Super League.
No, that is in India Premier League. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he is due to get $362,000 for his signing with that team. Deal with. And this deal is for 3 years, you know, so whether or not he's playing, he will still get the funding because he signed a deal for 3 years. And that's good for him. I hope he doesn't overdo.
I wonder if they have optional. I wonder if they have negotiation after maybe 2 years or, you know, they negotiate each year. Because if he should go out there and perform well, now the team want to get him and to lock in a three-year contract, and I don't know if the three is at the same price. So that would go against he would be at disadvantage to lock in for a three-year deal and not knowing that, you know, he could be getting
you know, because if he don't do good and he still have a three-year deal, it's still better for him. So he have it ups and downs.
Yeah.
So.
I understand that.
But he's not
going to
get left money.
If he, you know, perform, you know, right. But then say he got a breakout season. You may be leading wicket taker for the season. And then he'll be stuck at the same money. And, you know, guy like that, now teams were going to start to, you know, bargain, you know, try to get him. So he would have worth a whole lot more.
But if he's sold by another team and his stakes went up, won't they gain too? The team that sells him, wouldn't they gain too? They may, hey, listen, we can let him out and free up some money, we can get someone.
He's not going to put in auction because if he's retained, right, he's not going to put into the auction.
No.
He's already retained, I see. Mm-hmm.
What else I was going to say? That's something. Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, maybe just take note of them. And, Australia touring New Zealand, folks. Australia has taken a clean sweep of the T20 matches. They are due to play two test matches and three T20s, which have completed. Australia win all three matches there. And they're now going to play on the 29th of February, the first test match. On the 8th of March, they will play the second test match. Australia looking to sweep everything. And they're on tour of New Zealand. And New Zealand has brought back all their big guns. So, you know,
it's unheard of. Usually, anybody going down to New Zealand always struggle. And to see they're being so resoundingly beaten by the Australians. As a matter of fact, the first two T20, though, it was a nail biter. They needed, I think, three balls, 12 runs or something like that. and it came on to the last ball, and David, I think his name David, a guy, you know, he's hitting the ball in those T20 leagues, but he was drafted now finally for the Aussies, and he hit that last ball four. Yeah, he hit that last ball four to win the match. Yeah, he's been doing it in the Big Bash, and he did it now for Australia. So when we look at it sometimes, and you'll see a team was beaten 3-0 and thing. Sometimes it just the difference is just that last ball. You know, it could have been any side could have won the match, but then a win is a win. And you're gonna say you know the other side was beaten 3-0 or 2-1, you know.
Sri Lanka T20 captain was suspended. Why? Because he cursed off Ivor, meaning an umpire. Some pass for 2 days, for 2 matches. What could he say to the umpire? Why would he abuse the umpire? Because he didn't get a good decision.
Leon, what happened in that match was that they needed, I think it was about 4 or so, maybe 6 runs to win. 12 runs in the final over, I think they needed. And in the one of the ball in the over, maybe the third ball or so, the Afghan bowler bowled a ball that in Asaranga's estimates, the ball was above the waist and should have been called as a no ball. The umpire did not see it that way and did not call it as a no ball, and therefore Asaranga felt that A, he was deprived of the no ball, and B, he was deprived of the free hit, notwithstanding the fact that they lost that match by 3 runs, but they had already beat up on Afghanistan. They won all of the previous matches that they played, and only the one match, T20, Sri Lanka had beaten them in the ODI complete series. I think it was about 3 matches in that series.
Two test matches and three ODIs, and three T20s.
And Sri Lanka had won all of those matches. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like 6 of those, 7 of those matches, and only one T20 match that Sri Lanka actually lost. And Asaranga had the temerity to get in the umpire's face about a call which the umpire made. So he has had several run-ins with a discipline and was waiting, and that final complaint put him over the edge, so he was suspended from playing in the next 2 first-class matches that Sri Lanka played. Now, I think if I were the Sri Lanka board, I would certainly, you know, discipline Asaranga had this comment, because this was definitely uncalled for and unnecessary. It's one match. Why are you going to beat up on the umpire for one call, which when you already have the bag of gold in your hand for all the matches? So he deserves to be penalized, in my estimate.
So that's about all that we have for gentlemen. We have some more, but we can't go into, like we wanted to go into the West Indies, the World Cup, and give the venues and point out the details. But we'll leave that for another time. That's not, at least urgent at this point. Any questions, okay. Simon, quickly? One question for you, Simon, before we say goodbye.
No. Everything is quite clear to me.
Yes,
you're a very good panelist.
Why don't you give us your final thoughts and say goodnight to all of your friends and well-wishers around the world. They listen to you, Simon. They listen to the question you ask. So why don't you say goodnight, God bless.
And have Simon. A wonderful week, and be safe. And we'll be back here next week, Sunday, at 6 o'clock to see the Caribbean show on the radio. Number is 515-605. 9850. Have
you,
a
Sam.
Wonderful week all, and be safe.
Indeed. Thank you. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi,
word.
Yes, I'm still here.
You're
I
still
just
here.
Want to say thank you for another wonderful show, and good night to everyone. Have a blessed evening and every blessing for during the week. Take care.
Okay. Virgil, it's your turn now to, and then Donna follows. Virgil, your final one.
To all the panelists and to all the listeners, good night, and looking forward again to another nice talk to you again next week.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Okay. How about you, Donna? Donna, your time to say good night. And then Merchis, Donna. Donna.
Yes, good night. Thanks again once again for a nice show.
Yes,
thanks, I really enjoyed it. Everybody have a good week. And
likewise.
See you back on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Virgil.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Virgil, we are tight for time out. Virgil, did I call Virgil?
Again?
Oh, my goodness. I am... Merchisement. Your number look like hers. Merchisement.
Okay. Merchisement. Audience, the fans, good night. Have a blessed week. See you next week, God willing.
Yeah. Audley, your final thoughts, and then Dennis closes out.
Okay. Yes, so I enjoyed, you know, when I joined in, and a little bit here and there, and let us cheer. Who's going to cheer tonight for the Indians, and who's going to cheer for the Englishmen? All right, we'll find out what happened when we come back here, God willing, next week. So, in the meantime, go out and have a wonderful, wonderful week. And my thoughts for today's achievement seem to be connected with action. Successful men and women keep moving. They make mistakes, but they don't quit. So don't quit. Whatever you're doing, you knock your, and say you buck your toe. Don't quit. Just continue going, and you will be successful. God bless you, and we talk next week. God bless.
God bless you too, Arlene. How about you, Dennis? Close out and remember to hit up.
Okay. Well,
GC.
Thank you, Leon. In closing out, I have two invitations for our listeners. One, you'll be inspired when you tune into the Saturday Morning Entertainment Hour on the Caribbean Global Voices at www.blogtalkradio.com/Caribbean Global Voices, and you can reach them at 1-563-999-3693. That's 1-563-999-3693, and that is Saturdays 9 a.m. to 12 noon. That's the Caribbean Global Voices. So that's invitation number one. Number two, we also invite you to join us on the Cricket Show 1 hour broadcast program on www.caneradio.com. That's www.caneradio.com. That's on Thursdays at 8 p.m. So two invitations. We hope you'll come back and join us. And, of course, contact us, give us a call, and enjoy the cricket news and scores that we have to give you. Back to you, Leon.
Leon, thank you so much to all the panelists. I just want to thank you so for making my job a little easier by so knowledgeable panelists. Thank you all so much. Have a great evening. I am Leon Francis. Good night. God bless you all. And this is Audley's famous song. I like to play it because I know he's going to be dancing with
West Indies and those are ready. Next morning early, watch Dr. Richie. From the Eddie Boys went straight to victory. What do you think that caused the massacre?
One born again.
That magnificent cat by Lara.
One born again.
Watch an
ever.
One born again.
Nothing passing the wicked keeper.
One born again.
Now and then they send down a bouncer.
One born again.
When they drive his court in the cover.
One born
laughing. What they didn't know, we have the fatal blow. Because we know after joy is sorrow. If you hear the people was bawling,
was born again.
They were so jubilant that morning,
was born again.
The wife she was needing some flour,
was born again.
Then the man she poured too much water,
was born again.
A virgin woman.
Cuddling, he was unable to join us because he certainly his sister has passed away today.
Oh, so my condolences are extended to him,
you know,
and his family.
Yeah, and Jatin wasn't able to join us back afterwards because he was in a noisy, very noisy area, and he wouldn't be able to, you know, communicate clearly.
Whose sister died?
I'm sorry. Junior Cuddling.
Junior Cuddling.
The
guess he had a couple weeks ago.
Academy. He's one of the run of the director or the one in charge of the Caribbean Development Agency.
Yes.
It's a youth program, and he was with us 2 or 3 weeks ago from Jamaica. Mm.
And he did some work.
Okay, yes,
I think he did some work with Joel Andrew too. He and I think he did some work with Joel Andrew.
Certainly goes out to them.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
The family.
Okay.
Good night.
I'll certainly pass on our very greetings.
I just washed my heart off. I just drank a coconut.
Let me see it again.
Deep in the
right. Okay.
All right. Good night to
all. We just played this song for him. Yeah, brief song. Right. Grieving the loss of a loved one, Lord, we just pray for him and his family. Good night, all. Good night.
Okay. Good night, all.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Have a great week.
Have a great week.
Okay. Do likewise, folks. Have a wonderful week. Yeah.
I'm not gonna
Let's see how England do tonight or tomorrow, or if they do anything at all. But my money would be on India. Don't know what you say if you change your mind oddly, but nevertheless, we just hope that the better team
really
wins.
As I say, I'm expecting India to win, but I'm not ruling out England. All right?
Oh, okay. Okay. You're on the fence.
Yes.
Good. Sometimes you better be on the fence than to be off the fence. Good night, everybody.
When you're on the plane to get shot up by both sides, though.
That's true. Oh, good night, all. I got a call I got to take, too. Okay, good night.
All right, take care. God bless.
Good night. God bless, too.